This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
For our reflections, we shall look at
Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 10.
Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said,
God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.
The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham,
you get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac.
You just listened to the audio version of
Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 10.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
Listener, brace yourself as we bring to you a continuation of the discussion, Christian marriage.
A few points have come out clearly now. As far as the ordinance is concerned, like it predicated us, it's between a man and a woman. And I think that, to a very large extent, goes to address the hesitancy you had at the onset when you're trying to define what marriage is. Because in recent days, we've seen an upsurge of people with certain views, you know, trying to, as it were, push through.
The position of the law hasn't changed.
So fundamentally, the legal position in Ghana,
yes,
a man and a woman.
Yes.
And it's also been made clear to us that you can't just get up and go and do anything anywhere or call anybody and say that you are getting married under the ordinance. There are key requirements that you have to meet by way of the license. Okay, we'll put a break on the ordinance issue now. And then let's go to another very interesting type. In fact, there've been quite a number of times when people have come up and asked whether customary marriage is actually marriage under Ghanaian law. At least in your explanation or in your earlier introduction, you've identified it as one. But can you take us a little bit deeper into customary marriage? Later on, we'll go into the issue of whether it is or it is not and its position vis-a-vis ordinance marriage. Because sometimes some people go through it, they call it a certain name, and then they pop it up.
Yes. In everyday parlance, the one we described earlier is often described as wedding. Customary marriages, I presume, are the most widespread in Ghana. Because invariably, even those who have Christian marriages or ordinance marriages would usually have a customary marriage before or preceding the ordinance marriage. So I presume it will be the most widespread. And there are many, many marriages contracted under customary law, and the parties never go through ordinance marriage. I should say, marriages known to our custom and possibly most of us, our great grandparents and grandparents and even parents, that was the more common form of marriages known to them. It is distinguished from the ordinance principally by a particular incident or aspect. Whereas, strictly speaking, two consenting adults could contract a Christian marriage without necessarily the consent or approval of their families. Customary marriage has been described as a union between two families. So, of necessity, the families of the two parties must agree and must go perform some ceremonies or rituals to make it valid. It is a union between two families. Normally, the family of the man will go and ask for the hand of the woman. And if the family of the woman consents, they indicate their consent by either accepting drinks or dowry or acknowledging the family and the man somehow as a spouse. So it cannot be just between the two individuals. It is usually between families, and it comes with some incidents. Normally, if there is a customary marriage, if one of the families is bereaved, for example, it gives the bereaved family some right to invite the other family to the funeral to perform certain customs and rites. It is all an acknowledgement that that family or the two families consent and agree that there is in existence a marriage. And then also because we have different ethnic groups in Ghana, the exact details as to requirement differ from community to community. So if you want to marry a woman under custom, what you do is that you go to the family of the woman and ask them to define for you the requirements. And then they will tell you what their specific requirements are. I noticed that increasingly in Ghana, there seem to be some gradual convergence, but you still have specific items which will be specific to the ethnic group or groups involved in that kind of marriage. So basically that is an in ordinary day, everyday parlance, that kind of marriage is called engagement. But as you said earlier, it is not engagement. Engagement as applied or employed in Europe or in the Western world is some informal agreement between just the two prospective couple that they would marry eventually. But when we have customary marriage, families sit down together, gifts and presents are exchanged, that one is a full customary marriage and not just engagement. Okay. So that is customary marriage.
Okay, I think that's a very important and legitimate point you have made about engagements and wedding, because I've had the experience of people asking whether what we call engagement is marriage. And sometimes when you tell them it is marriage, they kind of look funny, you know, but at least this evening you've made the point well known to us. Now, in your discussion, you've mentioned that if a man wants to marry a woman, it's his family under customary law. His family goes to the woman's family and asks of the hand in marriage. In effect, I mean, I'm asking this question because you have a situation where you would have two people with different ethnic backgrounds. And the issue arises, I mean, whose customary
prevails?
That is the point, okay? Because you have a situation where the man says, well, I'm in place, we give three pieces of cloth and two bottles of schnapps and maybe some CDs and that's it. And so when he goes to the other side and the people are demanding something different, you know, I just want you to give us clarity.
I think it is clear that there shouldn't be confusion. The writings of old from Saba to Leinu and from decided cases is clear on that point, that if a man wants to marry a woman under customary law in Ghana, it is the man or the man's family that goes to the woman's family to inquire as to the requirements. So it is the family of the woman that prescribes or defines what, according to their custom, are the essential validities. Depending upon where you come from, a cow or cows may be demanded, or a sewing machine and other things may be demanded. I have ever heard that in some ethnic groups in Ghana, the custom, the rites are performed in a sort of piecemeal manner, so that over a period of time, from time to time, you perform them.
Milestones.
And until you go through all of them,
you are not married.
It is not regarded as a fully contracted customary marriage. And it could also affect, under customary law, I think there is a conflict now in some of those details under statute law and under customary law, but in some ethnic groups, until you have gone through fully your rights as a father in regard to your children are even affected. You may not be fully recognized as a father of children who were born out of such relationship if you have not fully perform those rites. So it is important to know the requirements of the woman's family or ethnic group as they themselves prescribe. If you can't impose your conditions as known to you by your custom on the family of the woman or the prospective wife you intend to marry.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think it's clear. And it's also clear that if the appropriate bride price is not paid, there's no valid marriage.
Yes.
You just listened to a discussion on the topic Christian marriage. A continuation will be brought to you later.
So I dance like the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that my spirit's on the roof. Don't know if anyone will understand. Feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I dance.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
Ezekiel saw the wheel. Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. In the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Oh,
in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel
way in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Oh,
in the middle of the air.
Some go to church for to sing and shout, don't you know?
In the middle of the air.
Some ought to go to get the devil out, don't you know?
In the middle of the air.
I'm working hard trying to do what's right, don't you know? And I pray the Lord he'll help me win this fight, don't you know? Oh, yes.
For you and for me.
Calling for you and me.
See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for
beloved in the Lord, we welcome you back to Moment of Truth, the time the Lord has set aside to speak to the heart of each one of us. Shall we bow as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves and all our listeners unto the hands of Jesus Christ. We pray for your unctioning of the Holy Spirit to descend upon all our listeners and to descend upon us as we speak your word. May you reach many hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We welcome you back in Moment of Truth on our series, Homosexuality, Lesbianism, and Bestiality. And we are looking at a part 2, series number 2. And in the first series, very clear that homosexual experience may be good, but it is an act of rejection of God's way of doing things. And anytime we stray away from God's path, we tread on the path of sorrow, pain, and even death. Homosexuals and the church. What do homosexuals need from the church or from the pastor? The truth is that homosexuality is spreading. It has entered many homes and also in the church. Tomorrow, it can come close to you, a family relation, a son or a daughter lesbian. What do they expect from us as a church or from the pastor? The church and society must understand and see homosexuals and lesbians as humans, not demons, to be avoided or trampled underfoot. 2, society must see homosexuality as one of the sins Christ died for and make efforts to redeem such persons to Christ. You know, sometimes we look at homosexuals with different kind of eye, as if they are not human beings and they must be avoided. And if we do that, we are driving them away from Christ. We need to love them. God, the Bible says, God demonstrated his love. He continued to love us, even though we make mistakes. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died for whosoever, homosexual, for lesbian, for those who practice bestiality, all kinds of sexual perversions, Christ died for, that whosoever believeth shall be saved. 3, homosexual lesbian have a fear of rejection by the church and society. So we need tact to be able to handle them. The fear, if we come, they wouldn't accept us. If we go to make ourselves known that we are, they'll reject us. Beloved, what do? We need openness. The church and parents should provide a safe place where these persons can freely talk their challenges and problems. And because they are afraid of stigmatization and shame, so we need to provide a safe haven where they can come and in privacy, in confidentiality, speak, and we listen to them and assure them of our love and concern for them. For we need to show love and concern. These are the fruits that will help them to overcome this social difficulty. Most homosexuals, beloved, suffer from loneliness and need human support. Most of them, because of rejection, because they have been known by people, society frowns at them. That is not evil. But because though we frown at them, we are not to reject them. So most of them suffer in loneliness, and this pushes them more into that situation of which most of them are even struggling to come out. What the church must do, the church society must not change their moral standard to accept them to remain in sin, but must help them change their lifestyle. What to do in such situations? We need to develop a strong personal relationship with Jesus in our daily devotional lives. Because the Bible describes homosexuality as a departure from the knowledge of God. So we need today, we need to build our homes so that our children, our family members can focus on what is truth. We need to say no to any impulse of indecent lust through prayer. If any seed of perversion begin to bring its ugly heads within you, you need to pray against it to ask God that evil seed away from you. We need to pray for the homosexuals. We need to frown at their sins, but point them to a Savior who can redeem them out of their sins. We need to let everyone know that homosexuality, lesbianism, and all these sexual perversions bring the wrath of God on the nation. And thus, we appeal to the authorities concerned, religious bodies and leaders and parents to wage a holy campaign against this social evil, so our land is not defiled unto destruction. Beloved in the Lord, God is calling us back unto himself, that no matter how far we have gone astray into any kind of social perversion, into any kind of sexual perversion, into any kind of immorality, anything that deviates from the truth and the word of God, he said we should come, all of us who labor and are heavy laden, and I, the Lord, I will give you rest. God can redeem you out of this situation. He can redeem you out of your social difficulty. He can change you from being a homosexual to a man of God, to a child of God. We're running for many people, and he's waiting with arms open. He says, come, come, And those who come unto me, I will not turn them down. I will not cast them away. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I, the Lord, I will give you rest. That assurance still remains today for you, if only you come. It says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. That's the call of the Lord. And as we come, we will find a loving Savior who cares, who loves you, despite our weaknesses, and He will make us a child of God. May the Lord bless you. May He strengthen you. May He quicken you. May He revive you and help you out of this situation to live a normal life to the glory of God, preparing yourself for the soon coming of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. May He bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Moment of Truth. And your servant, Pastor G. Y. Aguado, God richly bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.